First of all, welcome back, everyone. I raise it. I won't see you. Ezer Hashem, Sunday. I think Hanan said we're having to see him on Sunday. 10 o'clock. Ezer Hashem on Sefes Matzos.
What time?
10 o'clock. There's the small siyum.
Is that too early for a barbecue?
It's not. This is the first siyum. Now, Ezer Hashem, we're make a big siyum with the yeshiva. The yeshiva, we sure cause finishing matzos. Soon we'll make a big scene with the yeshiva. There's just a mini scene. Soon, maybe the end of this month, a few weeks.
For us, maybe Ezra,
the bigger scene will be, there'll be another scene.
You
said somebody taught so much time, right? One time. So as the yeshiva, Rabbi Shua Kohen's year is finishing Marcus, we'll have a bigger scene with them also, as a Shem, when they finish. I don't know when they're going to finish, but we'll make our scene, and then we'll be together with the yeshiva also. For it's a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We have a breakfast, so don't eat breakfast.
So, should we? What should we bring in?
You should bring yourself.
And any contributions?
Right. Oh, so also bananas. You want to announce any contributions?
Please see. Go ahead and speak first, please.
Okay. Fine, so any sponsors, please speak to anybody who would like to sponsor any money, speak to Chanan for the Siyam. Father, so that's Sunday morning.
You're going to make it nice, so it actually costs money. So.
Right, so it might cost a little.
Don't forget to open your pocket. Generously. You especially. Can you take from your Meister
to sponsor Siyam?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question, right?
So if you want to say Weissman says yes.
Wait, hey. I was thinking about it.
Come here.
Money talk
and
people walk. So don't forget.
I'm not sure. There was an announcement made. We missed it. There was an announcement coming.
Bring home the pastrami.
No, you bring the pastrami for
you bring it.
I think it's going to be a halal
beast. Right. Bring the pastrami. That's the good news. Next week, we're going to start with the Beitzah now. Ready? Now we're going to start with Chavos Chaim. Another announcement also Sunday, Beitzah Hashem. We're going to be preparing from 9:15 till 10:30, and then we have shir from 10:30 till 11:15. 11:15 till 12 is supposed to be chazara. I try to speak out the Gemara Baal Peh like the program of Rabbi Yeshua Cohen.
What happened with
the halacha? Halacha is going to be from 2 to 3:30. That's the new system. 2 to 3:30. Mishabura, the Mishabura shir from 2 to 2:30 is a shir. 2:30 to 3:30 is chavrusas. That's what I was told. I'm just giving over. I'm just reading to you, speaking out. Whoever doesn't know how to read, speaking out the announcements to you. Make sure everyone hears the announcement.
Will Rav Yishai still be giving his classes?
Rav Yishai will also continue with the halacha. Whoever's looking to learn some halacha, to be a Mishabura with Rav Chanan Salman is from 2. I think he's at a shir for now, 2 to 2:30. And then the chavrusa will be 2:30 to 3:30 because that's the new schedule. As I was informed.
Akiva still making the test for that?
Akiva?
No.
No, Akiva's not doing
that.
No, Chanan, there's no, Azmin has no test. Chanan Salman, he's starting. They just started, it's very good. It's very recommended, whoever wants to go. It's good, it's learning with the Chabrusa, Arab Shibur, and again, this year he's very good. He knows Halacha very well. He's Amshu Baki and Halacha, he's very. He also reads Chassidus, he's Tam Chacham.
We're covering Hilchot Shabbos, and we're doing right now on Kira.
Hilchot Special? Sorry, Hilchot Special, right?
No.
Kira, Tana, all the bishops, whatever.
Before Shabbos.
Hatzmano?
No, not yet.
Fine,
then
you do it with
somebody else. We've been
doing
this a long time because it's a very tough
sugi.
What's Kira, Tanor? It's not really.
Huh?
And Rav Nassim.
Annex, which is down.
And where not in English, where Rav Nassim Ami this year, it's going to be there, so it's highly recommended. So today and tomorrow is still going to be 2 till 3. Starting Sunday is a new schedule, 2 to 3:30. So he's happy to. He's very enthusiastic. He's very big Tam Chacham.
Incredible.
And he speaks English also.
The older one and the older one.
The one that lives next door.
The one who is learning the Shmuel Diamond.
Shlomo. Also, if anybody's interested in learning Tanya with Shlomo Diamond, let him know. They also asked me to announce.
Very good, yeah.
But also, I don't know, it's time. He asked me to announce. It's good with you, Chanan?
I have an opening from 1:30 to
2. There has to be a break also. Also, 1 to 2 is officially a break. Now, if you want, you can die on Mincha then.
Where?
We're trying to put something
together. Because it's 1:15. It's 1:15 now.
Right, I'd say officially, the break is about from 1:15. It's supposed to be 1 to 1:45 or 1:15 till 2, basically. But it's supposed to be a 45-minute hour break. Now, Mincha is not officially scheduled this month. So, if you need a break, take a break. Want to die on Mincha, do whatever works for you. But officially, it's the break. You're allowed to breathe. Because they really But basically, you need a break if you're normal, so whatever. That's what I'm going to do. Five, that was just schedule change. I was just reading, speaking out the sheet, because some people don't read. So I still have to read.
Everybody doesn't read.
We don't
read. Nobody reads signs.
No one reads signs. If you want to review this kachaz or the signs hanging up, it's good, but not everything's good. Anything else?
Yeah,
no. Right. Everybody's going to ask me. Nobody reads.
Well, I read the schedule.
I know. So
everyone's
going
to announce until that schedule.
I said they didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hanan. I just wanted to speak.
Do you have something to say?
I just wanted to speak it out to make everything clear.
Keep
the distraction. Take a sheet so you remember what this, where you are, where your schedule is.
Go into reload.
Fine, that's Hashem. Shev Hashem HaSech. You want to start?
Where are we holding you in Chafetz Chaim?
Fine, so now I'm just going to read Chafetz Chaim out of order because I don't have my Chafetz Chaim right here. He says, so I'm going to read for the Shai Tari one piece today. Shev Hashem HaSech. So he says it like this. Oh, so it says that in Shaar Atar Perek Aleph, Chafetz Chaim says the following. Yesh oy tikkun haklali. There's another tikkun haklali. Let me do that the other one. It says the tikkun haklali, it says the following. It says the hamiyuchal of gam lashon hara. There's a specific tikkun, a general remedy for speaking lashon hara. What is that? Kuhu libra tara. This is learning tara. Learning tara, putting effort into tara, this is a tikkun, it's a remedy for rectification for speaking lashon hara. Like the Gemara said in Erechin, Amar Rav Chana Bar Rav Chanina. My takanasav shall b'sapri lashon hara. What's the rectification? Someone spoke lashon hara. How do they do tshuva? Of course, they have to do tshuva. How do you fix up what you damaged? Im tamachacham, like everyone here, tamachacham. Yasi otara, learn tara. Shenemar, like it says, ma'apol lashon eitz chayim. The healing for the tongue is the tree of life, and we know what's the tree of life. Tree of life. It's Torah, like it says, Eis Chaimi l'machazikim bo. It says, so why are we telling you that it's a tree of life? Because you know the pasuk in the Mishnah says, Hamavis v'chaim v'yad ha-lashon. Life and death are in the hands of the tongue. So when a person speaks lashon hara, then they acquire for themselves everlasting eternal death. There the Torah is telling you, the way to fix that is to do the opposite. Learn Torah, which is the Eis Chaim, which will give you a person everlasting life. However, a person should really be careful from now on to be careful to protect himself from this avera. Like, for example, someone eats poison by mistake, right? So what do? You eat the poison. So now you take something that can make you vomit the poison to get it out of your system. So someone spoke lashon hara. So learn the Torah to fix it up, to try to rectify. But don't keep on eating the poison. Don't keep on speaking lashon hara, which is poison. And then when a person will learn Torah like that, that will help him to also be a healing on the past. Shkai. That was Chavetz Chaim. Let's see who the answers. Try to see two etzos. So we'll start again with the new sefer. We'll just start again. We started a little bit last time. Start again with the etzos from Rav Nachi. Starting Emes Be'emuna, right in the beginning. Allah says, Ikra Gu'ula Tzuliyah Be'emuna. The main redemption is dependent on Emuna. She says, when we have full Emuna Shlema, when we have Emuna, then Mashiach will come. Ki Ikra Ha'golos Eina Ela B'shvil Chasar Emuna. The main reason why we're in Golos is because we're lacking faith. Faith. Emuna, Tzvila, Nisim Eretz Yisrael, Hem Bechina Achas. These four things are all one aspect. The Kulam Tulim Zer Zer, they're all dependent on each other. Meaning, if a person, let's say, wants to get Emuna, so he could get it maybe through Tefillah, Nisim, and Eretz Yisrael. If a person wants to get to Eretz Yisrael, he could get there through Emuna, Tefillah, and Nisim. I mean, these four things are interconnected to each other. Emuna, Tefillah, Nisim and Eretz Yisrael. These four things are all one aspect. And they're all dependent on Nisim, miracles. You're saying faith, prayer, miracles and Eretz Yisrael are all one aspect. Which means they're all interconnected to each other. So if we want to get one of them, we could try to work with another one that could get us there. So if we want to get Eretz Yisrael, we can have Emunah. Or the light. Fine, Baruch Hashem. Now, Hashem's help. Hashem, 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 Hashem. We're going to start the new Masechta. We'll start Masechta with Beitzah. Start from the first Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph.
Yosef.
Oh. Fine. Beis Shanodah B'Yomtov. What's that like? An egg which is born on Yomtov. Beis Shammai, I remember Teichah. Beis Shammai says, eat it. It's Hill Amrim Loi Techel. It still says you're not allowed to eat this egg. This egg was laid on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to eat this egg on Yom Tov. Rashi says right away. Beitza Loi Techel. Let's see the first Rashi. By the end of that day, the whole Israel here is you're not allowed to eat it that day, the day of Yom Tov. The next day you could eat it. And the Gemara Mefarish Maitan. The Gemara we're going to explain what's the reason why they still said, why can't you eat the egg? What's wrong? But we'll have to see the Gemara to understand what's the reason. Fine. Comes the next halacha in the Mishnah, which again is another case where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is strict. Right? Usually we know it's the opposite. Usually Beis Shammai is strict and Beis Hillel is lenient. Armin just brings us three cases where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is strict. Let's see the next case. Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai says, Sa'ar b'kazayis, v'chavit b'kasevis. A person at Pesach is chayiv the Isser of Bal Yematzah. We know we just had Pesach, the Isser of the Raisa. Have chavit in your possession, right? The Torah says, Bal Yireh, don't see it, or Bal Yematzah, don't find it in your possession. So, how much do you have to have in your possession to transgress this Isser that will give you Malkus for it? Or that just there should be a Sa'ar b'kazayis. If it's Sa'ar sourdough, which we call yeast, that's a kazayis. Even the size of a kazayis, Sa'ar b'kazayis, that's going to be the amount you're chayiv on Bal Yireh, Bal Yematzah. The chametz. However, when it comes to eating the chametz, there it's because seven steers to say the size of a date, which is between, it's a little bit bigger, it's bigger than a kazayis. A kazayis is between a kazayis and a kazayis is one shear, then you have a kasevis, which is in between, then you have a beitza, which let's just say one sheet is a beitza is two kazayis, right? The size of it. So you have the size of a zayis, then you have somewhere in between there is going to be the size of a date, and then the size of a beitza, the size of a. So four sa'ar, if a person keeps the yeast, the sourdough in his house on Pesach, there, even if it's just a kazayis, a small piece, you're chayv. The chametz b'kasevis, or the chametz, to eat chametz has to be enough to eat the size of a kasevis. If you just eat a kazayis, it's not a problem. You don't get malchus yet. It's not five carbs. However, so chametz is referring to eating. So ar in the Mishnah is referring to having in your rishos. So there, so we're eating on Pesach. Someone who eats. No, because what's chametz? What's the difference? What's the difference between sa'ar and chametz? That's just chametz is referring to eating.
Sure. I thought it's kosher. There's no measurements.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to eat a kosher. When are we going to give you malchus? And when could we give you malchus?
Not for a kosher. Not for a speck.
I thought this referred to eating. One second.
Possession.
Only possession. Yeah. Possession. So is kibbutz and mechmetzah.
Right.
It's like a.
Right. Right. Let's say right. Pasha.
It's like a warehouse right. For chametz.
Right. So this is right. The Mishnah Parshas that you say, I thought it was right. I don't know why I thought it was going on eating. Sa'ar because if you eat it, it's both on Bayur Bayur, it's keeping in your possession. Sa'ar is going to be the amount of a kazayis. And chametz, you keep chametz in your house is the size. You have to have a bigger size. That's because that's like Rabbi is explaining. Sa'ar, right? What are we later going to speak about it? Why is there a difference between the shear of sa'ar and why is there a difference between how much yeast you keep in your house and how much chametz?
Not even yeast.
That's what we call what we would call something what we
yeast
call
that.
Right, I was somebody with a Google. What would you call it?
A starter,
right? Something like that, right? Let's say sourdough. Yeah. Right. Oh, so
put
say.
Six, leavening agent.
Leavening agent, good. That's fine. So, like we said, we're going to see in the wire later. What's the difference? What's the difference between sa'ar and chametz? Why is sa'ar to keep sourdough in your house? It's only a kazayis. And for chametz, it's more. Because you see the Gemara later, sa'ar is, since that's the thing that makes chametz, that's very bad. Even a kazayis is usr. But the chametz, it's already chametz itself, that it's going to be your only chayiv once in the kasevis. So it means if you only kept the kazayis in your house, you're not chayiv. Only once you get to the kasevis. Good. But still, everybody still says, no. Zev is zev a kazayis. What's this and this? This and this. Meaning what?
The yeast or the chametz.
Good. The yeast or the chametz are both a kazayis, which means what's coming out of here? According to Beis Shammai,
he's more lenient
because he holds
because
a higher measurement, which means let's say I have.
They both agree on Shavuot.
Good, they both going to agree on Sa'ar. But in Chametz, let me ask a question: If a person kept a kazayis, just the kazayis at his house, not a kesteven, just the side of the kazayis in his house, not Pesach, does he transgress by Yerusha not to have it in Yerusha? It depends. Fibe Shammai, Shammai says yes. So the Fibe Shammai says no. Until you have the amount of A, Tamar, you're not chayim. Basil says you're already chayim, which means Basil is coming out more strict. So again, Bishamai Imrim Sa'ar Bekazai. Bishamai says, Sa'ar is the amount of a kazayis. That if you keep the amount of kazayis, you're already chayim. The Chametz Bekasev is Chametz says with A, it has to be more a bigger share. You're only chayim once you have the size of a date. And a kazayis is not enough to be chayim. Basil says, no. Zev is Zev Kazayis. This and this, see the case of the sourdough and the case of chametz, are both the kazayis, which means even if you only had a kazayis in your house of sa'ar, you're still chayv, which means Beis Hillel is being strict. Let's see Rashi. Sa'ar b'kazayis, the first, what, top or line. Rashi explains, Mishum dahani tlas mili, because these three things, halei mekulei Beis Shammai, umechumrei Beis Hillel, they're from the scenarios where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is machmer gabe yamtav by inhilchas yamtav. Therefore, tamelu, we taught them gabe hadadi by each other, but next to each other. She says, what's Rashi bothered by? Why in the world, this is talking about hilchas yamtav. You're talking about, fine, you're talking about Beis Hillel born on yamtav. Why all of a sudden bringing a case of chametz, which is hilchas pesach, then you throw it back at another case of shachting, a kisi adam on yamtav? I mean, why are you bringing these cases now? So Rashi is coming straight to answer that. Rashi says, because these three cases are similar, that they're all in Hilchas Yom Tov, and all three cases have the same common denominator, that Beis Shammai is strict, Beis Shammai is lenient, and Beis Hillel is strict. Therefore, that's why we brought them over here by each other. And in the Gemara, we're going to explain tomorrow. We're going to explain the reason. Right? No, I'll explain all the reasons for everything in the Gemara. So we said, Vikra Sevis, that we said that according to Beis Shammai, he said that the amount of chametz you have to have in your house is the size of kesevis. Now, what's a kesevis? Rashi says, Tamar, it's a date. That's a size which is bigger than a kazayis. That's the size of your chayv according to Beis Shammai. Fine. Very good. Let's see the third case in the Mishnah. The third case between Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Hashoychet chayav oif. Let's say someone slaughters a chayav, it's more like a wild animal, or an oif, or a bird, v'yamtav, on yamtav. What's the halacha? The halacha is, when you shecht either a bird or a chayav, then you have to do a mitzvah called kisui hadam. After you shecht it, you have to cover the blood, right? And not a behemoth, right? That's the halacha. Not a behemoth does not need kisiyadam. So that's referring to over here only a chaya or a ay. So now what happens? What's the problem here? What's the big question? Am I allowed to dig up the dirt to do kisiyadam? Now, am I allowed to shechta on yamtiv? What do you say, Rabbi Abraham? Am I allowed to shechta animal on yamtiv? Can I slaughter animal on yamtiv?
Yes.
Yes, because it's for eichal nefesh. Another pasuk says, whatever is for eichal nefesh for food, you're allowed to do. Right? But what's the whole problem with Shabbos Beis Hillel? What about when my mitzvah, my eating, I'm going to have to do another thing? I'm going to have to dig up the grass and do kisi adam. When the Torah told me I'm allowed to transgress and go do malachas on Yom Tov to eat, what about a mitzvah that comes with the eating? Which means the Torah said you're allowed to prepare your food. You're allowed to prepare your food on Yom Tov. Unlike Shabbos, you're allowed to prepare your food on Yom Tov. Correct? You're allowed to prepare your food on Yom Tov.
But with restrictions.
So it's a, fine, with certain restrictions, but you're going to be allowed to slaughter an animal. However, what's the question here? What about if I have another mitzvah while I'm going to prepare my food and I have to do another iser deraisa of digging? And it's, is that mutter or aser? Kamei Shammai says, it's good, it's all good. Kamei Shammai says, it's for the purpose of eating. So do whatever you want. You can dig a hole. Even though you might do all different types of isurim coming about with that, it doesn't bother us. Once we let you do malacha to prepare food, we let you also dig to do kisi adam, because that's part of preparing your food. Part of preparing your food is you have to slaughter the animal, do kisi adam. So that's all included in your license on Yom Tov. Good? That's what Bishamai. Because Bishamai says, Okay, let's do it. So let's see the Mishnah. Hashem of Chaya va'Ifyan. Someone who slaughters a Chaya or a Oif on Yom Tov, which obviously it's going to require the mitzvah of covering the blood. You have to maybe you have to dig to cover the blood. B'Shabbat and B'Shabbat says Yachvar B'Deker, dig with a shovel. V'Yachase and cover it with the blood. No problem. 100% allowed. Because it's all involved, this is all inclusive in your license that you need to prepare the food. That's what Shammai says, do even Isra Dereis. Beisela says, no. No, why you shchit? You're not allowed to slaughter. He says, don't even slaughter it. If you don't have dirt that's prepared, you're not allowed to slaughter it. Why you shchit? Don't slaughter it. Ela imkain, only if so. Hala afar muchan, you had dirt which was prepared, but I did it for the day. Which means for before you have to. So Beisela says, you're not allowed to dig, do any Isra Dereisa or any Isra Derabanan to do your Kisei Hadam, to cover over your blood. So what should I do if I want to make shechta, I want to make a barbecue, made of fresh animal on Yom Tov? Prepare your dirt. Prepare your dirt for while it's still day before Yom Tov comes in. And then, we let you cover it over. But you're not allowed to do any Isra Dereisa or any Isra Derabanan in order to do your Kisei Hadam. This is not included in your license. Good? Yom, it's good? However, what about if you already shechted? This is all the chatchila. To begin with, Beis Hillel says we don't need to do any Isra Derabanan or Deraisa in order to do Kisei Hadam. You have no license. However, mm-hmm. They agree. Who's they agree? Who's they? Who's they agree? They Shabbat Beis Hillel. Vaidim. Good. She'im Shachat. Good. Beis Hillel is going to agree to Beis Shammai. She'im Shachat. If, let's say, you already slaughtered it. The guy didn't have dirt prepared. He already slaughtered it. Right? What should he do now? What should I do now? I have a mitzvah deraisa to do kisei adam. What should I do? Beis Hillel is going to agree. She'im shachat, if you already slaughtered it, but you have it after the fact, she'yachvar b'deker v'yichaste. Should dig with a shovel and cover it over. Now we're going to see in Rashi right away. Beis Hillel. Oh, so,
but isn't it just go into the next few line words then?
Only no, done. She'im, we're going to see in the Gemara. She'im shachas shachar v'dekar v'chasa. Period. That if you're going to slaughter it, what you should do is you should dig with a shovel. Now, what just happened? What did Beis just change? So we're going to have to see Rashi and the Gemara are going to explain. He's not letting you do an Isra Deraisa. The Mishnah does not mean you could actually dig and do an Isra Deraisa of digging. Beis Hillel is saying, after the fact, we'll let you do a drabana. Which means if the shovel's already stuck in the ground, we'll let you pull out the shovel and then cover over the dirt. But this hill is not agreeing that you could do a deraisa. So again, you're not allowed to do a deraisa in order to do kisei adam, even if you're going to eat it on Yom Tov, even after the fact, even if you're raisin. So again, Beis Shammai says, we let you slaughter the animal and also dig, do whatever you have to do for the mitzvah kisei adam. Everything's permitted.
You're allowed to do the deraisa.
You're allowed. You're allowed, even deraisa, you're allowed to do everything.
Right.
Comes Beis Hillel, says, nothing doing. Comes Beis Hillel, and says, no, if you have to have dirt prepared for before Yom Tov. You don't have dirt prepared, you're not on a shecht.
It's like the moil that you can shabbos.
Give it up, here we have a new problem.
And then you take the knife and include it in the...
But here's a different problem, here's a bigger problem.
More that, secure place. And that's why we cover the blood, because...
No, but it's a new mitzvah. That's not why you cover the blood. Oh, here you're covering the blood because it's a mitzvah deraisa to do kisei adam. It's a mitzvah. It's not just so no one should get dirty with the blood. Over here you're doing a mitzvah kisei adam to cover it over. It's a mitzvah deraisa. The Torah says a mitzvah by chayin us to cover over the blood. So Beis Hillel says, just because we let you shecht, we didn't give you a license to start digging and taking your shovel out. That was never part of your license on Yom Tov. That's the isra deraisa. So if you have no dirt prepared, you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. No shechting. Let's say you already shechted it. So with the yavid, after the fact, you could do only Isra Derabanan to cover the blood. Which means, if the shovel is already in the ground, you could pull it out, and that's not really digging, it's the Isra Derabanan. So that will be lenient on you, and we'll let you do.
Fine. Would Beis Shammai allow you to go even to like your tool shed and get your shovel, where Beis Hillel wouldn't? It has to be already prepared. The shovel at least has to be prepared for you.
It seems like it was already in the ground, prepared.
It's in the ground.
And also, it's not really big.
If it's just laying on the ground, not in the ground, you can pick it up. You can even go to your tool shed, probably pick it up.
Yeah.
Start digging.
That's what it seems like. Good. Well, this is in the Gemara more. This is what it seems like right now. We'll see extensively this whole machlokes in the Gemara. comes the last few words of the Mishnah, which are not connected to the previous statement, like we're going to see in the Gemara. She'efer kira muchadu. The efer, what's efer?
Dust.
Afar is dust. Efer is the ashes. The ashes of the kira of the oven, muchadu, which already prepared. Which we're going to see that this is not connected to the law before. But because if it was connected to the law before, it's supposed to be giving an explanation. Which means, what are you saying? Umaydim, they agree. That efer kira is mukhan. It's not okay. We'll see in the Gemara. These last few words are a new statement. They're not connected. Let's see Rashi. The fourth line. That's the last wide line. Yakor v'deker. Rashi says dig with a deker. What's a deker? Rashi says fila b'laz, which they say it sounds something like a shovel. It's a spoon with a handle to it. It's like something like a shovel. That we said, Beis Hillel is going to agree that once you already slaughtered it, then if you already slaughtered it, then we let you cover, we let you dig. Comes Rashi right away and tells us, because of the farish time, like the reason is going to be explained by Gemara, that this is only k'sheyesh lo deker, when he had a shovel na'ot, which was stuck in the ground, while it was still dig. Beis Hillel is only giving you this leniency once you're already slaughtered, if it's already the shovel is already in the ground, which makes the only Esther Drabana. Place here at Fabel Baruch. It's good. So then, if the Decker knows that it was already stuck in the ground from before day, meaning before Yom Tov, then we're going to give you a license, we'll give you a Heter leniency that you're allowed to cover. She'efer Kira Mukhan. So Rashi says right away, the Gemara Ba'i, the Gemara is going to ask my comer, what are you saying with these words? Which means, as the flow with our last sentence. What in the world are these last words? Rabbi Yisrael, what's up, Shash? She'efer kira mukhanu.
I think it's, I didn't see what it's going to say, but I think it's coming to say that could be the best option according to Beis Hillel.
That's what to see.
That could be the best option. If you do have it, you should know. It's like a last statement. By the way, you have a kira in your house, right?
Right.
Just use that instead of pulling the shovel out.
That's always fine. Hey, shovel.
That's always available for you
yeah.
to use.
More importantly.
And possibly they used to use it. Maybe they used to use it for other things. So it's mukhan is a word that's,
right. yeah,
it's,
yeah.
That it's allowed to be used.
Right.
It's not mukhan.
Oh, well, this is anywhere what it's referring to, right?
Everyone would have stoves. Everyone would have ashes because they would be burning wood.
Right.
So it's something.
They used it for. They might have used it for other things too.
Oh yeah, they use it for everything.
Yeah, so I've seen the Gemara exactly what the statement is, what that last few words.
It also has a major principle of Shabbos of making a getter or making a block of not good block of Shabbos, so that the whole thing of the act being raked out is there to tell you that it's not, which we just learned yesterday, the whole reason you rake the ashes out is so you'll come to blow the coals, which would be to Mechalel Shabbos. So the fact is, the statement of taking the ashes out is there to tell you that you're not going to.
Right, good. Yeah, so we'll see the Gemara with the Pshat. Fine, very good. Let's see the Gemara. Comes where it says, we have no idea what your case in the mission is. Comes where it says, we have no idea what the Machlekes of Shabbos may say also. What's the first case? What's the Machlekes? Comes where it says right away, but Maya Skina, what are you talking about? What's the Gemara? What are we asking on? What are we asking on? We're going in order. We're going to the first case in the mission. Come and say to my asking, what are you? What's your case? What are you dealing with? What's your case? What's your first case? You told me that Beis Shammai says egg that was laid on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai says you eat it. Beis Hillel says don't eat it. What's the case? If it's referring to a tiny gailus, right? If your head, your chicken is going to be, it was standing because you wanted to eat it. My tarai the Beis Hillel. What's the reason for Beis Hillel? Uchla da afrasu. It's uchla da afrasu. What does it mean, uchla da afrasu? Anybody know what it means?
The word
food from food.
Food that's separated.
It's food that's separated. Meanwhile, what's the Gemara trying to ask?
It's like slicing a loaf of bread.
Yeah, let's see Rashi. Ha'medes la'achila. She'ina mochtas. If this chicken you plant was in your coop that you're eating, that usually you shuck chickens from, right? People that have two chicken coops. I don't know if you have chickens in your backyard. Some chickens, you just, you know, you want to shuck them, you want to slaughter them and eat them. The other one you have, you know, these chickens are good, they sit on the eggs, they make the eggs hatch. So which chickens are we talking about here? That they should get about the issues of muktzah and all types of problems here. If it was a chicken ha'amedes la'achila, which Rashi tells us right away, she'ina muktas, what does the word mukta mean?
Set aside.
If this chicken wasn't set aside specifically that you weren't planning on using it, so then what's for the problem with the egg? Ochlo da'afrisu. Oichel shenifrad. It's food which was separated. The egg is just separated from the chicken. And Rashi said, where do we see? He brings it another time. We find the same terminology. The chaveroi, it's friend, where we use the same type of word as Mesechtas Menachos. Brings the example, chaburi oichle kamad, the mafras is dummy. Again, also the word mafras means separated. Chaim shchitas chuen, also Mesechtas shchitas chuen, and Mesechtas chuen, daf ayin gemal bet aleph. So we're saying, we don't understand. What's the case for you? If this was sitting in the chicken coop, right, which is made to eat, right, so you didn't set it aside before you have to, I'm not eating this, right? Some chickens you have, these are to eat. And some you put on the side, now I like these are good for making eggs for me and laying eggs and hatching the eggs, fine. Right? So what that, if it was a chicken, I was taking, let's say, from my coop that I eat, there's a coop that I shacht from. What's the problem? There's no problem with muksa. Why? Because the chicken, no, there's no muksa. That's, is there a thing? Right? He says, there's no chicken. The chicken itself is, the chicken is mutter, because the chicken I was planning on eating. I didn't set aside the chicken. Right? But what about the egg? But maybe the egg is a problem of noila. It's not a problem. I mean, the Gemara is taking care of two issues. This chicken itself, is it muksa?
No.
No, why not? I was planning on eating it. I was planning on eating it. I never put it on the side. I was planning it. It was in the chicken coop for eating. It was never set aside. Fine. Oh, and second of all, I called the avrusu. I went at the egg. The egg is nylon. It came about on Shabbos, right? We're saying it. Ochlo the avrusu. The egg is food, which was separated. We're looking at it as one entity. We're not looking at it right now as if it's nylon, as if it was born afterwards. Now, why not? Why are we not looking at it? Why is it not the same?
In general, why do you have to set aside a chicken for eating?
No.
Every chicken's fate is going to be that he's going to be eaten.
No, because there used to be a thing.
Even if they're egg laying, yeah, chickens, they're going to be eating the stuff.
But in Hilchos Mukta, it goes by what's my das, what's my knowledge for this Shabbos or this Yom Tov?
Beforehand.
If I had in mind, yeah, because that's how it works. For this Shabbos, if I want to, I was planning on eating it this Shabbos, then if it's designated, or we'll see how much, if it's designated to Machito or this Yom Tov, then already it's not Mukta. However, Chazalik rules of Mukta, if you were not planning on eating it the Shabbos, or it was designated not to be eaten, then it's considered Mukta. That's one of the Muktas. We'll learn later, man.
Mukta, just translate it for Mukta is something set aside.
Still said, now,
if someone says, don't touch that, it's Mukta.
Right.
It's the opposite, isn't it?
No, so that means it's set aside. Really, usually we're used to the four regular Muktas that we talked about in Halacha, right? Yeah. This is the regular Mukta. Now, there are maybe 20 or maybe more than 20 different types of Mukta. Right. You're used to the regular things that are called muksa, the four most basic types of muksa.
Right.
But there is this muksa is muksa. This is a new muksa. It's called muksa machmas hachana. Machmat hachana. Because of preparation, which means another muksa is if you had in mind. Well, we're going to have to learn exactly.
Oh, just in general, when someone tells you, "Hey, this muksa, don't touch it."
That's just terminology. Use that something.
It's not literally true, right?
No, because there are certain muksas.
There was muksa you'd be allowed to touch it.
No, muksa means set aside not to use.
Not to use.
No such thing as muksa set aside to use.
That's not, we don't use the word muksa. Right, we don't use the word muksa.
Call it a chana.
You call it yeah, because it's right, yeah. Muksa is usually something set aside.
Muksa is always something set aside not to be used.
Right. Sometimes Chazal said it's not to be used, but there are another time also that since I didn't personally have a mind to use it, it's considered muksa. Yeah.
The word muksa is root, is from the existence.
That's so.
So it's removed from me. It's far removed. Right, set aside, far removed. Good.
Could you say that again? Please.
The word mukta, the source is katseh. It's at a distance, at the end. It's distance.
It's distance from me. It's set aside. It's
away from me.
Away.
The same
it's
away from me.
As the same root as in Arabic, we have the name al-ikhta. It's the mosque at a distance.
Uh-huh.
It was a distance from Mecca.
Uh-huh.
Built by Suleiman al Kabir to have tahud. Is that tahud in English? Tahud.
A competition.
A competition with the Meccan central. He wanted to use them in the center. So it was the distant mosque. It's the same group, katzeh. Katzeh. Every distance.
Katzeh.
Books.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, very well. Fine, thank you, very good.
Does this rule apply now where the food is part of the egg is part of the chicken is also the same din of a calf inside of a cow?
So you're right. There's a connection. Yeah, correct. You're right. It's the same type of connection. So right, that's where there is a similar connection over there. It's a big shallow there because from the next Gemara, this Gemara goes well. The next Gemara is not going to go well with that. This right now goes well with that. Yeah, fine. So right now, what are we saying? We're saying it's not a problem of muktzah because if I was planning, it was in my chicken coop with the chickens I'm supposed to eat. Fine, so it's not muktzah. Maybe it's nailad, which we're going to speak. It's a new type of muktzah, which means if somebody was not around right now, also you don't have in mind for it. He's saying, no, it's not nailad. Which means like this. What are we saying now? The final bar of this for you. Why is it not nailad? Why is it not nailad? But it's nailad. Why is it why not caring about nailad now?
Part of the chicken.
Oh. So even though it's right, so we say it's part of the chicken, which means even though I didn't have my mind on the egg really. I didn't have my mind specifically on the egg. But it's a piece of the chicken. You don't have to have your mind on every egg. It's a piece of the chicken the Gemara is saying right now. Which the Gemara is gonna say different soon. But at this point the Gemara is understanding that it's part of the chicken. Fine, so let's see. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying right now. Right now, he wants to say that it's that is part of the chicken.
Things we have to keep in mind. In most cases, 2,000 years ago, chickens were multi-purpose. They didn't have like today, they have egg laying, lul, and
They did have one. Why say they did have? Why say they did have two?
It was less common.
Okay, but so the Gemara is trying to figure out which one. What's the scenario here? The Gemara is trying to figure out what's the scenario, which means the Gemara is saying it's true you do not know necessarily that the egg is going to lay the eggs. You didn't have mind on the egg itself. However, it's not nailad because it came out the time ago, which means since you're planning on eating eggs, it's going to be. I'm trying to differentiate between the next case. Since you're planning on eating this chicken. So even though you didn't specifically have in mind, you didn't have in mind on the egg, and right, that's usually the problem of nailad. You didn't have in mind the thing that's going to be born.
If it happens to me, it's okay. If it's muksa, then even what's inside of it is not being designated.
Right. Well, but what about nailad? But we're going to talk about a muksa soon, that something that came about later also is a problem of muksa because you didn't have your mind on it. So why don't we have a problem of nailad now? The reason is because we're saying, since you had in mind for this chicken, you had in mind everything that involved this chicken. What some shita say also, they say a little clearer, let's say you would have shechted this chicken without it laying the egg. You could have eaten the egg also. It's part of the chicken. Because since it was standing to be shechted, even if you would have shechted it, you could shecht it for taking it from the egg inside. Also, you would have eaten it. So it's not as if it's part of the chicken. That's what he said. He said it a little clearer. No?
Yeah.
I think I got a little clearer. That. Since if you shecht the chicken, you'll get without it laying the egg, you'll be happy. It's a part of the chicken. So now also, it's part of the chicken. Good. Let's see the Gemara is saying, if that's the case, so why in the world should the Beis Hillel say it's usher? It's not mukta, it's not nailad, no problem with mukta, no problem with nailad, it's all part of the chicken, everything's beautiful. Ella b'tarne goes ta'im medes l'gad al beitzim. Rather, what's the scenario? It's an egg-laying chicken. So, if it's an egg-laying chicken, my tamah with the Beis Shammai, what's the reason of Beis Shammai?
Muksa.
It's muksa. It was set aside only for egg laying, and not you weren't planning on shechting it. So that's muktzah, which means consider muktzah machbas achana. It's muktzah because you didn't prepare to eat it. You didn't prepare mentally that you were going to eat this. You set it aside in your mind. That's the Gemara's question right now. Come to Gemara and says, one second, what's your problem? Well, my kushi, what's your question? Still Beis Shammai, let's lay muktzah. Maybe Beis Shammai does not hold of this type of muktzah. Of course, when the Gemara says he doesn't hold a muksa, doesn't mean he doesn't really hold a muksa. Like Rashi explains, he holds like we're going to see in the Gemara, he holds like Rav Shimon. There are many types of muksa. Rav Shimon narrows down the types of muksa and doesn't hold of some types of muksa. You shouldn't make a mistake that Rav Shimon doesn't hold of all muksa. And Beis Shammai also, which we're saying now, is like Rav Shimon doesn't hold of. Say this muksa he doesn't hold of. Got the fellow bar? Don't get confused.
The Rav Hillel is far from Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, we're going to get to everything. Let's just see the Gemara. So what I'm saying. My question, don't be shabby, let's do a muktzah. He doesn't have hold of this type of muktzah. So let's see Rashi, less lu mukta. Where did that come from? Well, it comes from the blue, it doesn't hold a mukta. Everybody holds a mukta. Rashi brings that. No. The Dilma. Krib Shimon's Tvirlu. Maybe he holds like the famous Shita of Rib Shimon. The other Perek Kira, like it says in the Perek Kira in Mesech the Shabbos, Daf Mem Dalam and Aleph, Meisver Hashemen, the leftover oil Shabaner in the candle of Shabakar in the bowl, Aser. Tanakama says you light a candle on Shabbos, you light a candle before Shabbos, and now what happens when you have extra oil? What do you do with the extra oil? The guy wants to use it for his salad now, right? He used to use good oil that's edible. Put it in my salad now. Tanakama says Aser. Why? Because it wasn't prepared. You weren't planning on using it. You were planning on lighting a candle and it was going to burn. The oil was going to burn. So you were preparing. You didn't prepare that it should be for your salad. So therefore, it's usher. Comes up with salad for Reb Shimon Matra. Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon says, even though you didn't have a mind to use it, you had a mind that it should be usher and it was a buses and it's books. I don't care. These things don't bother me. Reb Shimon says, this time it looks like it does not bother me, and it's 100%. It's 100% mutter. So therefore, what do we want to say in our case also? So in our case also, even though you weren't planning on slaughtering the chicken, right? Even though you were not planning on slaughtering the chicken, right? It's not a problem. Beishamit doesn't care. Beishamit doesn't care. Beishamit doesn't care about muksa. He doesn't care about this muksa. What was our question?
Meaning, if something already exists, now that it changes, or now that there's no longer muksa status on it. It can be used. You have a candle that was originally muksa, then you have the leftover oil.
Right.
Yeah. So again, so the candle no longer, this oil no longer has the muksa status on it.
Right.
So it could be used.
Perfect. Good.
And then, so it's like, Tanakama there would hold basically, you set aside this oil specifically, let's say, to light.
Correct. Correct.
Whereas Rav Shimon would say, no, you set aside for use, let's say, for Shabbos in general. So
correct.
Now comes along, I want salad dressing. Okay, it's still Shabbos.
Correct.
I can use it. So we're saying.
Right, right. We're going to see that more in the next Rashi. Right, exactly.
That's
good.
That's a very likely possibility. The same thing with the chicken. A healthy chicken, and the chicken goes in, we're healthier than most of the chickens today, unless you get a baladi, will lay 1 to 2 eggs every day. So the person says, okay, chicken's going to lay me eggs for Shabbat or Yom Tov. I go ahead, it's going to be there, I can use it. So it is planned to be used without, because he knows every day there's going to be eggs, so you have fresh eggs for Yom Tov.
I have, that's not the Gemara's case. The Gemara's not saying it's a general chicken. The Gemara's saying now, really, this chicken was really for.
I talk about an egg layer. Let's say you put these, we have two chickens in the yard.
Right.
Okay. And we keep them for eggs for now. Okay. And they're baladis. You know what baladi is? The native chickens, not the Leon Koimba, yeah? And they eat well. every day, there's each one of them lays 1 or 2 eggs. There's 3 to 4 eggs every day. Wow. In the little, in the garden, whatever, you have to find them. But every day, there's 3 to 4 eggs. So, then they're considered, at this present time, egg layers. So things will be out, get their eggs, but they know from advance there's going to be eggs tomorrow on Yom Tov B'Libraya.
So right, that's what Reb Shimon says. That's what Reb Shimon holds. Reb Shimon holds. That's mutter. Reb Shimon holds.
Which is why Beit Shammai probably had the same idea. We have egg layers. They're laying every day. We'll have eggs for
yeah, that's what that's what I wants to say now. Good. That's what I wants to say now. He wants to say, oh. So then I say now, why are you so insistent that Beit Shammai has to hold the muksa? Maybe Shammai just hold the muksa. He holds like Reb Shimon. Comes where it says no. Kasokadaitin Beishamai Kasokadaitin Afilu man the Shar Bimukta Menoilad Aster. Where it says no. Because even if you have no issue that this chicken is Mukta, but you still have a problem of the egg because the Noilad that's still Aster. Which means like this. Even if you're going to tell me Beishamai holds a grip Shimon that we don't care about Mukta. Which means it doesn't bother me the fact that this chicken was set aside just for egg laying and not for eating. We have a new issue of Noilad. That the egg that was born now was not on my mind. Right? So even if Reb Shimon would say the chicken is always on my mind.
That works good.
But
however,
the egg was not on my mind. Reb Shimon would agree the egg was not on my mind, so the egg would be muksa, and that's the problem. That's going to be the issue with the egg. So we still have a problem where it's saying, so why should Beit Shammai say it's mutter? You should have an issue. You'd have no. This chicken is not muksa, but the egg that it laid should have a problem with nylon. So it still counts Bishama, which means we still have no author of our Mishnah. Because it can't be Bishama either. It can't be Bish Hillel, and it can't be Bishama. You thought maybe it's Bishama holds a group Shimon. That doesn't help me. Because we want to assume now, even though Rav Shimon holds with no issue of Mukta on the chicken, but there is an issue of Noilad on the egg that wasn't on your mind. So Rashi explains now, why should we make a difference? Why should we differentiate between Mukta and Noilad? Why are we saying, even though Rav Shimon holds there's no issue of Mukta, he will hold there's an issue of Noilad? Why should we make such a difference? So Rashi explains to us the logic behind that. Let's see Rashi Kosalka Daiti. Let's see Rashi. This is why we're asking what's Pshat and Beis Shammai. Because we're thinking now, even according to Reb Shimon, the Shari b'Mukta, that he holds Mukta is permitted, but Noilad Aser, something that was born afterwards is Aser. Now why? So Rashi explains to us the logic. The Ilu b'Mukta, because if you're in the case of Mukta, Svirulay, it's held to him to Reb Shimon. His logic is, Loimakti Inish Midaite. A person doesn't set it aside from his mind. Midi something. The Chazilay, which is fit for him. So since it's somewhat fit, the chicken, you don't totally take it out of your mind. Even though I was planning on using this for the eggs, but still, you don't actually take it totally out of your mind that you could always shaft it if you want to. So therefore, it's not considered a mukta. But what about Noah? Someone who was born afterwards. Like, how about the other? He did not know about it. He didn't know it wasn't born. He didn't know that it would lay the egg necessarily. Like, the other, he didn't know about it. Then the habit that it should be da'atei his mind. Eluya on it. So what's the svara? So what's the svara on it? What's the exact svara is? By mukta, why does Shimon hold there's no mukta? Makbas hachana. You don't have to repair it. Because everything in your mind, you always have in the back of your mind, you could use it to shaft it. Which means, even though this chicken is for egg laying, you never take it out of your mind, you're for sure not going to use it. It's on your mind, you might shaft it, so it's not mukta. So your mind is still on this chicken to use it for Shabbos. So, I mean, there's no lack of preparation in my mind. I always have somewhat of a knowledge about it. However, the egg that was born, that I didn't know was going to be born necessarily. So therefore, it's going to have an issue of Noilad. It's a type of mukta. It's mukta. So that part of the Noilad I wasn't mentally prepared for. And therefore, it's going to be mukta machmas achana. So right now, we're holding that even according to Beis Shammai, even if you tell me, Yosef Reb Shimon, there's no issue of mukta, there should still be an issue of Noilad. So how did Beis Shammai say you could eat it? If it's, right? How could Beis Shammai say? It'd be fun. I'm going to stop over here by the Shafat. Very well.